soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Well, by now you have read chapter 1 of this marvelous book of transcripts on the 1955 Kailua Study Group series. We are all grateful to Sharon for her labor of love that brought this into our hands. And all I have to do is pick it up, and I know it was a labor of love. And yet behind that was God's will manifesting. I think we all know that and sense that. What a beautiful thing that we should be included in His gift. This is a journey that we are about to embark on, or have already embarked on. It's a journey in consciousness. When Joel first started teaching people the principles he had discovered, he was faced with a world that had not yet risen to this kind of a demonstration. For the most part, they were still people using metaphysics, using principles to attain what they wanted. A new house, a new car, better health, the right relationship. And probably, for the most part, they were using affirmations and denials. My body is the perfect image of God, and I know it. I show forth God's radiant health. God's perfect employment is mine now, and I know it. You know how affirmations work. And so he was attempting to take the entire world of metaphysics and lift it into mysticism. And it was quite a challenge. Of course, it was Spirit doing it through him. Even as God placed this book in our hands, these transcripts, so God was taking the world and lifting it above the affirmations and denials into a mystical way of living. And God had to have someone to work through, and Joel volunteered. Sometimes he didn't want to be that volunteer, but he was. Now, he knew, I suspect, I'm pretty sure, that he knew that perhaps it would be many years before individuals would understand this and embrace it and begin to live it. But this particular group of people that met at his house, I'm sure were invited. And this particular group of people, he sensed that they were ready to take this step. And so he begins this set of classes with a strange statement. Even on page 1, the second paragraph, he says, "We are sitting out here in the home beginning a very, very unusual work, an unusual work for the message of the Infinite Way. Now, this is 1955, and, of course, The Infinite Way was published in 1947. So, what is this, 8 years later? Something different is about to happen, something he hasn't done before. And so strange is it that he says it twice, a very, very unusual work for the message of the Infinite Way. There's something very unusual about this work we're about to take up. Something very different and strange. And so he prepares us in this first chapter by rehearsing what has already been learned by the people in his living room, and I'm sure by all of us. He starts to lay the foundation of one power. He takes us through what he has discovered, and if you note in here, he says it took him a long time to do this, and he expects it to take others a long time. We are those others. I started reading The Infinite Way, The Art of Meditation, Practicing the Presence in 1972. That's a long time. Now, he takes us through what we already know, hopefully. He talks about physical power and how one side gets a stronger power, then the other side gets a stronger power, and eventually they equal out and become powerless because both sides have the atom bomb and nobody's using it. He takes us through the medical power and how penicillin was invented and it worked on everything and it was really quite the miracle drug. But eventually, people developed immunities. There's a strain of tuberculosis out now in the prisons that no penicillin will meet, no antibiotic will touch. And, of course, we know that the virus, HIV, is not amenable to treatment of much of anything. So, he goes from there into people using the mind for power and how it worked for a while, and there was miraculous recoveries and miraculous demonstrations, and then after a time it no longer works. And I don't know if you've come up through any of those mental sciences. I don't know if you have come up through using the mind to make affirmations and denials. But it really does take a lot of consistent effort, and it really does stop working after a while. And finally, he tells us that we might go through a phase where we feel that if only we could reach God in some way, God will handle this problem. And there are many in the Infinite Way, and I'm guilty too, of slipping into this. Well, I have this problem, but if only I can make contact, God will do something about it. And this is incorrect. He says there is no such God. In fact, I love the way he says it. He says if only I can reach God, God will do something about this scene. But then we realize there is no such God and there is no such scene. This man was so deep in his understanding. I'm so impressed. That's the wrong word. I'm just amazed that with his deep mystical understanding, he was able to let this out over a period of years. Years. Little by little by little by little, gradually lifting everyone up. There must have been... He had to have direct orders. No human being could do this. You'd want to talk about it right off, wouldn't you? Oh, guess what I've discovered? He kept it a secret and let it out little by little by little. I'm just so overwhelmed. Wowed. In awe. And so the message is here. He has laid it out for all time for us. But because of the nature of the amount of infinite wave books, I can look over there to my left and see 20 of them. Because of the amount of tapes and talks, because there's no order given for people to listen or read other than at the beginning, it can take us years and years and years to assimilate this. However, my joy at the discovery of these transcripts was that everything is here and placed in order. To go from someone that is leaving affirmations and denials to the deepest mystical experience itself, right here in this book, is in order for us. All right. So he's laying the foundation for those of us that have come in that have been using principles. And that foundation is one power. And that's the very first thing he does, is he takes this group of people in his living room, and he takes us, because we are here with them, to reminding us of the principle of one power. And I just wanted to point out a few things, because this chapter is pretty self-explanatory. But there were a couple of things I wanted to touch on lightly. And I know I promised that I wouldn't make this audio too long, and I'll try to keep my promise. But it's not always up to me. Now, here on page 9, he talks about learning that we can just say, so what? So what? Now, this is beautiful. I think sometimes we read over these things, but I always mark them in my book because, well, I'll show you. Remember, saying so what won't heal it. Saying so what would only be the outward expression of an inner state of achieved consciousness. So don't say so what until something within prompts you to say so what. Because if merely saying it would do the work, then the 100,000 people who have read some kind of infinite way literature would all be out doing healing work. And it isn't that simple. The letter of truth merely prepares us for the actual consciousness of truth. Now that is really, really, really an important paragraph. All of us in this class, we must be honest with ourselves. The very basis of growing is, what do they say in psychiatry? The first step is to realize you have a problem or something like that. The first step is to be honest with yourself. And I need to be honest with myself. And all of us need to be honest with ourselves. And so, if you read a paragraph like this, the question is, are you, you individually, are you doing healing work? Are you healing yourself? Are you healing your family? Are you healing others? Now, I don't mean by that once in a while you accidentally heal someone. Or once in a while there's an accidental healing. No, let's be very, very honest if we want to come into this experience. And really, honestly, if you can't be honest, you need to leave this class. We have all got to be honest with ourselves. Are you out doing healing work, consciously doing it? If the answer is no, then you need to listen up, because he's saying, don't you dare say, so what? Until something within prompts you to say, so what? In other words, this is a way of saying, if you have the consciousness of a healer, if you have Christ consciousness, something within you will prompt you to say, there's no power in that, and to rest. And there'll be an inner experience. Now, if you read what I read into this, out of 100,000 people who are reading Infinite Way materials, only a handful are doing healing work. This should not discourage you. This should make you say, okay, well, if 100,000 aren't getting this, what is it I need to get? Now, if you pay attention through this book, by the end of this book, you will be out doing healing work. Because the consciousness that does healing work, the Christ, will have, well, will be operating through you. So that's one paragraph I noticed. And let's see, here's another one. On page 10, yes, this is what I was talking about before. He says, it's the second paragraph. Because these generations have built up in us a conviction of two powers, we, that's you, there's eight of us in here, so all eight of us, each individually, must now train ourselves into the consciousness of one power. Just as if we were going to study music or mathematics. Now, I have studied some music and some mathematics. You don't get to Algebra 2 or geometry or trigonometry before you've learned your multiplication tables. You remember sitting down and learning your multiplication tables? 9 times 9 is 81 and all that. 4 times 4 is 16 and 7 times 7 is 49. You remember going through all those? All right. That was work. And when I learned to play the guitar, I had to look in the book to see where to put my fingers there. They weren't down hard enough on the frets, so I had to press a little harder until I developed calluses. It hurt. I didn't want to do it, but I love music, so I did it. And I learned to play without thinking. And you can do math without thinking. Well, we want to read a book or two of the Infinite Way and have 3 or 4 meditations and be a healer without thinking. Well, it's not going to work that way. We know that. These principles must be taken and worked with. we train ourselves into the consciousness of one power. See, we don't just have a beautiful meditation on Wednesday, and now we have the consciousness of one power on Friday. It takes weeks and months and years. That's why the second degree is 22 years long. From 2 to 22 years, because some people work at this hard and throw everything out the window but this. And other people, well, they just sort of lightly peck at it and come back to it. And, oh no, here's a serious problem. I better get serious again for a while. Okay, everything's okay now. I'll just relax and go on with my, oh no, here's another serious problem. You know, so it can be 2 years or it can be 22 years. Now, by the way, this book is designed to take you from the second degree to the third degree. Alright. So, the point is here, all of us are mature enough and advanced enough to know this stuff, and I'm hoping that you have already trained yourself into the consciousness of one power. What does that mean, really? Well, it means you've learned the letter of truth. If you sit down to meditate, and there's a problem confronting you, your mind will automatically start saying things to you like, this is the arm of flesh, nothingness. God is the only power present. These thoughts will just come to mind. You don't even have to reach for them anymore. He'll say things like, this is an impersonal world belief. There's no power in a mental image. All power is in God. God is omnipotent. And it's second nature, like 144 is the answer to 12 times 12. God is omnipotent, and anything else is an impersonal nothingness. It comes to you automatically. Congratulations, you've trained yourself into the consciousness of one power. But that doesn't mean that that's enough to effect a healing. That's enough to give you the letter of truth. But if you don't have that little secret second part, which is coming to a complete rest, so that something can happen, you're still not going to have healings, even with an excellent letter of the truth. So, when he says we train ourselves into the consciousness of one power, he's talking about all this work that took place so that we could learn the letter of truth, and then the second part where we learn how to rest. If you've done that, then you experience at times the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which he says is a mind that feared no powers external to its own being. Now you have to ask yourself, I do when I'm reading his stuff, do I have that mind of Christ Jesus? Do I walk around fearing nothing external to my own being? It just sort of makes us think, wow, I don't have that mind, not fully. So I'd better knuckle down here and get to work. Because he wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't attainable. In fact, he wouldn't talk about it if he hadn't attained it. Alright. The next page, page 11, he says, whatever it was that drove me and kept me to the grindstone until the first grain of this inspiration came forth, that same power brings you here to this room. In other words, he spent a lot of years to the grindstone until the first grain of this inspiration came forth. And remember, it wasn't available widespread. This man had to research and dig it out of ancient manuscripts. Yes, he was beginning to experience it, but he didn't know what he was experiencing. someone would say, "Would you pray for me?" And he'd say, "Sure." He'd close his eyes, and before he could have a thought, they'd say, "Thanks, my headache's gone." He didn't know what was doing that. He had to delve into things and keep to the grindstone. Practice meditation for 8 months before his first experience. Now, we don't have to do that. In this book, in my hands, in your hands, if you will delve into it, as he says here, well, let's read what he says. "Whatever it was that drove me and kept me to the grindstone until the first grain of this inspiration came forth, that same power brings you, all of you, here to this room, and to this room is to this consciousness. You are standing before this consciousness. You are in this consciousness. You have been invited to this feast. Please take this seriously." Now, to what extent this power operates in you determines how much you are willing to dive and delve into those 20-odd books. And in this case, how willing are you to dive and delve into these transcripts? I mean, dive and delve into them. I mean, put them into practice. Live with them. Breathe them. Work with them. If you have questions, please ask. We can ask each other. You must find the answer. Don't go forward until you do. Now, if you do that, he says, you will find the nothingness of that which the world calls its errors. If you don't have the consciousness of the nothingness now, I mean the consciousness of it, then you then must dive and delve into this work we are embarking on and put it into practice until you do have the consciousness of the nothingness of what the world calls error. All right. There was only a couple others, I think. Now, he says on page 12 that you yourself have been given sufficient grace to be prepared for this experience. And I wanted to point out that everyone in this class, all 8 of us, have been prepared for this experience. This is going to be an experience, a rather prolonged experience, a lifting up. Now, I didn't know it until I read this, but there is a promise of the infinite way. Did you know that? There's a promise. And the promise is, he says, that there is a principle which heretofore has not been known. There's a principle of the infinite way that you can discover, you can embody. And the principle is, besides God, there is no other power. As you learn this principle, you will learn to relax. You will give up the struggle against error. You will then learn the real nature of error. It's an illusion. Now, that's the promise of the infinite way. Did you know that? I didn't. That there is a principle which, when you learn that principle, you will be able to relax and recognize the nature of error as illusion. In other words, the promise of the infinite way is that mind which was in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Because that's what he just described, that mind is being. He says on the next page, "As you study these writings, pay particular attention to every passage that relates to the nature of God. and the nature of prayer, because once you come to the realization that it is true that God is love, you lose all fear of persons, places, and things and conditions. Otherwise, you haven't come to the realization that God is love. Now, he's constantly doing this, pointing out to us what progress we've made or haven't made. And I often reverse these sentences because it helps me. All right, so if I reverse this one, it says, you haven't come to the realization that God is love. If you still fear a person, a place, or a thing. Wow. That would say there's a little work that needs to be done. But fear not, the work will be done in this class, in these classes. Again, on the next page. Now, these are things that you take into your consideration to spiritualize your consciousness, to attain that mind that was in Christ Jesus. You must consciously and concretely come to the realization that if there is a law of God, it is God's law, and it is good. Again, I point that out because each time he says this, each time he says that these are things that you take into your consideration, into your consciousness, or you train your consciousness, or you spiritualize your consciousness, realize this is not a weekend adventure. This means putting your nose to the grindstone, working with these principles. Over and over and over, meeting problems, little ones at first, so that you come into that mind which was in Christ Jesus. All right, so the promise of the infinite way is that if you will take these principles and you will work with them, you will develop, spiritualize your consciousness, train your consciousness, develop your consciousness to that point where you can begin to have the actual experience of that mind which was in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. And that mind which was in Christ Jesus can meet any problem at any time. And that mind which was in Christ Jesus is, well, he's given us a couple of hints here. A mind that knows there's no power but God. And a mind that knows that God is love. A mind that knows that God is omnipresent. And God is light, in whom is no darkness at all. Now, if God is light, then light is omnipresent, in which there is no darkness at all. And finally, he reiterates this. The question comes up, how do you achieve this? This greater realization. And we do it in this way. Every time a problem is presented to us, we bring to conscious remembrance whatever of truth applies to the situation. So do we see in this first chapter, he's laying the foundation for us. Of course, he's going to pull all that out from under us in the very next chapter. But in this first chapter, he's telling us, if we will work with the principles of the infinite way, we will come to the consciousness of one power. We will come to the realization that God is love. We will come to the realization that God is light, omnipresent, and there is no darkness at all. But we will come to this as an actual internal experience, not an idea, not a thought, not pretty poetry that we read to one another, but the actual experience of it. And how do we know if we're having the actual experience of it? Because you will come to a place of rest where the battle is over. You're not fighting. You're not struggling. You're resting. And you are discovering, to your utter amazement, that by doing absolutely nothing other than standing still, the so-called darkness is disappearing. You don't know how. You never know how. All you know is you're standing in the light and the darkness is disappearing. You see problems dissolve. They just dissolve. It's really quite amazing, and you sometimes wonder, how did that happen? How does he do this? This Christ consciousness, how does he do this? This is amazing. You see things dissolve that couldn't, shouldn't, no way. Yes. Yes, way. I am the way. That Christ mind. All right, so he's laid the foundation for us. There is a promise of the infinite way. And the promise is you will discover the principle with which you can practice to a point of inner realization where the Christ mind takes over and dissolves the seeming illusions of sense. Now that's the promise. If you're not experiencing that promise, come with us on this journey. Because by the end of these classes, you will be experiencing this promise. Now, I posted something. If you go to the Kailua Study Group list, where there's the pretty picture of the rainbow, next to that picture is a quote from, I believe it's page 179-180 of these transcripts, where Joel asks this question: is there a set of people so peculiar that we can all come into this promise at the same time and live this Christ mind, or have that mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus? Is there a set of people, a group of people, ready, willing, to have this inner shift in consciousness where we're not living out human lives anymore, but we're being a witness of Christ living itself? He was hoping there was, and that is why he gave these talks in his living room. And now you are here in his living room, in his consciousness. And my feeling is you are that group of people. I'm certain of it. I know it. So, let us see what happens when one here, one there, all across the United States, comes into the consciousness, into Christ consciousness, at the same time, together as one. This journey is very, what did he say, very, very unusual. And we have all embarked upon that journey. Let us take it very serious. Let us take our studies seriously. And let us watch what happens as we are transformed by that Christ consciousness. Let's continue with chapter 2, and if it gets too heavy, we may take 2 weeks on it, but for right now, let's continue with chapter 2. Thank you, and Godspeed.